Some people pay other people to turn a wrench, swap their oil filter. Me, DIY, all day. This isn't convenience, it's confidence. Purelator 20K oil filters. Clean oil, more miles. Over 99% filter to perfection. Only at Walmart.com or select Walmart stores. Purelator, keep it purring.
Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro raised bed soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro raised bed soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This week, we're talking about the new drop-top G-Wagon and why an 87 Ram might show us the future of engine swaps. Plus, Danny Rick's retirement, an investigation that turned up almost 100 lost cars, and how Audi might follow in Jaguar's disastrous footsteps. Uh-oh. But first, an EV gets a ticket for being too loud. Welcome to the Big Three. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. My name is Nolan Sykes. I'm back.
He's back, baby.
Being on the road, we'll talk about that a little bit. Joined as always by Joe Weber.
What up?
And Bart Bidlingmeyer.
Good to be here. Nolan, I missed you, man. Welcome
Thanks,
back.
Thanks, dude. I missed you guys, too.
I really missed you, Nolan.
All right, it's not a contest.
Okay. Like, I'm so glad to see you. The energy is so amped here.
Thanks, man.
You bring something, some of the, what a coach would call intangibles.
Thanks, dude. I appreciate that.
To any room you're in.
Thanks. Wow.
Give me a hug.
What is this glazing going on?
Wow. Good to see you. Wow. What a welcome. And Joe.
Oh, welcome.
Hey, yeah. I'm
Joe,
here too.
And I've loved spending every day with you that we've spent.
This must be a contract year for Bart.
So, let's see, is it 6 weeks since I've been on the show now?
It's been over a month. Yeah, I'll say that at least.
And a lot of people
been
in the comments.
6 weeks since Nolan's here.
It's been a while. So, I was on the road for a month straight. First week, I was at Bonneville in Utah at the Salt Flats competing at Speed Week.
And you got 294?
No. 294, I wish.
You got 94 twice.
We hit 191 was our top speed there.
Oh, so
Didn't beat our last
Let's
time.
Not shit on 191, okay, Nolan?
It's fast, you know, we wanted to get out there, hit 200. The video about the whole experience came out by the time you guys hear this yesterday, so go check that out. But I feel a lot better now. I was kind of stressing there for a couple of weeks.
Well, the second you showed up to Bonneville, someone had just,
crashed
had just died, right?
And died, yeah.
You were there that day.
We were there. The crash happened moments before we got on the salt, before we arrived at our pit area. Yeah, Chris Rashke driving the Speed Demon 3 very tragically had I'm not sure the details of the crash itself, but the car got airborne and hit the ground at like 260 something miles an hour.
Damn.
So immediately as we're there, we see the emergency response vehicles going on the salt and like all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, great.
Yeah. The car almost hit your aunt?
Not the car. So the tire, one of the wheels came off the car and rolled into the pit area off the course, which is at least half a mile away. Like the pits are half a mile.
Super far.
Maybe not half a mile.
So you've ever seen Cars on the Road.
Yeah.
It's that episode in the Salt Flats. And Cars on the Road, Disney Plus animated series.
So one of the wheels came off the car and my cousin and my aunt were at a food truck and the wheel hit the truck.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So anyway, weird kind of atmosphere immediately. I mean, and I was already really stressing pretty hard about safety and anytime you get in the car, it's it's scary. It's really scary doing it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, unfortunately.
And it's harder to put it out of your mind when that's
absolutely
the entire atmosphere.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, my condolences to Chris Rashke's family and the whole Speed Demon team. But, the next day, competition started again, and we
ran the car for the first time. And after that first run, it was like such a relief, you know, because the car felt good and like, you know, it was, everything was fine, got through it. And, you know, we had two more passes after that. Unfortunately, did not hit 200 miles an hour, which was our goal this year. We suspect that the titanium valves that we had put into the heads, we have cast iron heads with titanium valves, and the one of our crew chiefs, Smokey, who has tons of experience in racing, you know, he suspected that the titanium valves
seated, right?
Well, no, they get really hot,
so they'd expand
and ignite the fuel mixture too early,
oh.
Which is sapping power. And titanium valves allow us to get higher into the revs, which is what our the issue we were having last time around the salt is, like, once we got into fourth gear or so, it kind of like stall out at like 6,000 RPM. And we figured, okay, if we have a lighter valve train, maybe we can get the revs up into like 8,000, 8,500, which would allow us to go over 200 miles an hour. And
but then, so what are you going to, is it retard your timing?
Well, we're going to go back to, I think, steel valves, because we have cast iron heads, and the, one of the weaknesses there, we have to use cast iron heads for the class. But one of the weaknesses is that those heads don't dissipate heat as quickly as aluminum does. So
have you thought about making up a new metal?
I don't know if that'd be allowed in our class. Everything? Yeah. Yeah. We become metallurgists.
Adamant,
So anyway, it's still a lot of fun. I don't know. It's such a cool alien place to go. Bonneville.
You
have check it out.
Like a way better time than Burning Man people too.
Yeah, I think so.
You missed all the haboobs and the, torrential rains.
Yeah. That doesn't look like a very fun. It basically it is like Burning Man for boomers out there, basically. Because like everyone brings their trailers out. It's like a communal kind of thing. Yeah. Like everybody relies on each other to like share resources and
Boomer Man.
And then you like respect the land and you clean everything up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really, really cool place. I hope it keeps going. Really, yeah, it was a fun, cool time. And
so
then
check out that video.
So check out that video, please do. For the next 3 weeks after that, I get home from Bonneville, spend like 2 or 3 days at my house.
Petting the cat. Kiss Chloe.
Chloe was in Idaho, actually. Oh, so like I picked her up from the airport on Sunday. That's not important. I didn't get to see my wife like at all, basically. And then we get out on the road for 3 weeks filming a new series. It's called The Big Trip. It'll be coming out in a couple weeks here. But we drove on this leg of the trip from Long Beach to Dodge City, Kansas.
I just watched the Wyatt Earp movie and was looking up Dodge City on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Well, he was like sheriff of Dodge City and then moved to Tombstone.
Wow, Tombstone. Yeah. Dodge City is pretty cool. Kansas was like cooler than I was expecting, to be honest. I didn't really know. I knew it was a very flat place.
Yeah.
A lot of plain, like rolling hills.
God's country.
Yeah. The heartland.
Yeah,
but Dodge City was actually pretty sick. Yeah. And that will be in episode 4 of the series. We shot 4 episodes while we were out on the road, and we have 4 more to shoot. So we have 2 more legs of the trip in the future, in the next couple months.
Did you make a bunch of jokes like, we got to get the hell out of Dodge?
We did not, I think, because that's on the nose, you know?
Yeah, it's too on the nose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
I would have not made that joke too, because it's too on the nose.
We got to get the heck into Dodge City.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So check that out, or keep an eye out for that. The Big Trip will start coming out in a couple weeks, and then twice a month until the end of the year.
So that's what Nolan's been doing.
That's what I've been doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now I'm back. I took last week off. It was great.
How'd that feel?
So good. I did nothing. I just sat in my apartment.
Yeah.
I played a lot of guitar. I got a music theory book, started learning scales.
You texted me, we got to go to the Dime MTL challenge next
year. That too. I watched that.
Didn't it look insane?
That looks sick, yeah.
It's someone that will die soon.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, that really big ramp they did at the end. Yeah.
That was crazy.
That was insane.
Yeah.
How do you even do that? So I did that, and I played Battlefield because I can't wait for Battlefield 6 to come out.
Nice.
So, yeah.
You didn't get the beta?
I did get the beta, and that's why I'm stoked.
Is it really fun?
Yeah, it's really fun. But that's over.
We could talk about the open classes and the challenges that we'll present.
I think the weapons should be locked to specific classes. I'm an old school Battlefield guy.
I think so too.
Yeah. So that's what I've been up to, and I'm very glad to be back here, though.
We're really happy to have you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Should we talk about some car news?
Let's talk about some car news. An EV driver has been ticketed for his car being too loud.
What?
Huh? And the car in question is, of course, the new Charger Daytona EV. The owner, a guy from Minnesota named Mike, told The Drive last week that he was rolling, quote, about eight cars deep with some buddies. And when they stopped at an intersection together, when the light turned green.
Can I just interject here? It's nice of his buddies to let him go even with the EV charger.
Yeah.
Still hang out.
He's probably got the most expensive car there. When they rolled away from the light at the green, he said one of the cars, quote, peeled away loud as hell, which attracted the attention of a state trooper who ended up pulling Mike over. In a video of the stop that's circulating online, you can hear Mike tell the officer that his car is an EV and that it couldn't have been him. But you know what? Maybe it was, because
it is loud.
Thing is loud as hell.
I don't think it's as loud. I don't think it's ticketable loud, having heard it. You know,
it's pretty loud. I think if you were to put what's the test, 75 dB or one?
Yeah, the decibel test.
The decibel test. I think it's a 95 or 100?
95 dB, at least in California. This is in Minnesota. And it's funny because all the comments on every video is like, this smells like California to me. And everyone's like, it's literally not California.
I think people have to keep in mind that a lot of people around this country don't like cars and don't like loud cars in particular, and think we're all assholes. Let's just keep that in mind.
It's a special kind of ego death when you realize your niche passion is a niche,
mm-hmm.
and you have to zoom out and be like, oh, there are other people in the world.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, there are people with feelings. anyway, Minnesota. So the cop can be heard saying, quote, I'm not going to argue with you, before giving Mike a ticket for a loud muffler.
I'm not going to investigate the situation before I cite you.
giving a ticket for a loud muffler, missing front plate, and for being a, quote, public nuisance. Dodge has a real opportunity here to step in and give him some sort of official Dodge public nuisance vinyl.
He's a commercial.
Decal or something.
One of one edition.
And it's him with his arms crossed. And it says public nuisance.
Yes. Yeah. You too can become a Dodge public nuisance. you can also hear the cop mention Mike has received a warning for loud exhaust before. So some priors here. But that doesn't necessarily mean
But it's like, but that was a car with exhaust.
Yes.
It's my Fratzonic exhaust. It's not even really an exhaust. It's a speaker.
I definitely see that. I'm in the same way when you're like rolling with traffic and you're behind like a car, someone's speeding like a 350Z or something like that, but you decide to roll with them to like cut through traffic a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, okay, but if the cop sees his speed and not mine, am I going to be pulled over for this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Am I going to be mistaken?
I always do that when I see a cop pulled over on the side of the highway and there's a truck in between me and him.
Oh yeah.
I try to
there you go.
You know, like speed and keep him in the blind spot the whole time.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's called.
Unfortunately.
That's a sneaky move.
Yeah. I buy a story here though. Like if you're with your buddies, you're rolling eight deep, you're with other like-minded individuals.
Yeah.
And someone
the brotherhood.
Yeah, you're with your brotherhood and guys peel away from the light. And you're left holding the bag.
Yeah.
Honestly, this is kind of on Mike's buddies.
I can. Yeah. So this is like letter of law, rule of law.
Did they RICO him?
All eight of you are. Yeah. We're waiting until we take all eight cars down.
No, but
it's taken 10 years, but we're going to get all these Dodges.
What I was going to say is like, I think in this country, you have to prove guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. And I think going to court with this, first of all, sometimes the police officer doesn't show up, so always do it.
Yeah.
But like going to court with this, like how are you going to prove it was this guy's car?
Yeah.
Like how are you? I wouldn't think this would hold up, but I also could see a judge being like, yeah, well, you shouldn't have been rolling with those guys, and you know better.
Yeah, but that's not a crime.
I know. I'm sometimes judges will do weird things. Like
yeah.
Well, that's why they gave him the public nuisance ticket as well, because that's harder to defend.
I see. Yeah. Yeah. And the front license plate one.
That's, again, public nuisance. Like, what is the? I would love to get into the statutes.
It's loud exhaust. It's shooting. Shooting a slingshot.
Sure. Yeah. Dennis the Menace.
Stealing a pie off a window.
Stealing a pie off a window. Going ooga
at ladies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Having a steam whistle for ears.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All that stuff.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's Mike. Yeah.
That's harder to defend.
I think Mike should.
There's video. There's,
yeah. Well, the problem is the judge is about to let you off for having steam whistle for ears,
and then the bailiff
is
like
so long that you get so upset that like, yeah, you have a steam whistle, and then the judge is like,
gotcha.
And it, Anyways, I think if the question is, do I buy Mike's story? Yeah, I buy Mike's story. Mm-hmm. You're driving an EV. Yeah. I doubt you're the loudest person in the parking lot,
totally,
or wherever.
Yeah, it's loud, but it's not that loud. Yeah. Also, like,
it's a compliment though that the cop was like, "That looks loud."
I think it
like that's a nice thing to hear.
Dodge needs to jump on this opportunity.
I think
to like,
yeah, Tim Kaniskis, get on it.
Yeah, Tim.
Yeah, this
defend the brotherhood here, man.
Yeah, he needs.
What are we doing?
Speaking of Dodges,
on that note, good transition. I want to bring this up real quick though because a while ago, it's old news at this point, but they debuted the Hurricane 6 in this press conference where they're doing donuts around the PR guy, and they don't sound great. They don't sound, they're not like energizing.
Well,
speaking of the inline Hurricane 6,
yeah, this one might change your mind, Joe. A 1987 Dodge Ram is getting attention for having one of the first high profile Hurricane inline 6 swaps. This thing is badass. Plenty of outlets, including us, have been saying the Hurricane platform could prove to be the next 2JZ. And Morgan Evans and Jason Kastner from the Torque and Tungsten YouTube channel are testing the waters to see just how powerful the new platform can be.
A tungsten's a good metal. You should try that for valves.
Tungsten heads.
It's heavy, though.
Magnesium.
They've tuned the engine to make 802 horsepower and 740 foot-pounds of torque.
That's good.
That's a lot.
The twin turbo system has been dropped for one big turbo. This seems to be the way to go because Boosted Motorsports out there in Florida, he's a dude that I think I've referenced him before, shown you guys some of his builds. He works a lot on Mopar stuff. He has like Viper swapped Rams. He does a lot of Viper swapped Dakota.
Wow.
Super sick. He built a Viper with the Hurricane and brought it out to some event in Detroit.
Yeah.
Whatever Mopar's event is. And it's a big turbo Hurricane in this Viper. It sounds so good. And so does this truck. It just broke the Hurricane powered quarter mile record with a run of 9.39 seconds with a trap speed of 140 miles an hour. That is quite respectable. The setup is super reliable as well. The duo recently completed a 1,200-mile drive and drag event across Michigan in the truck.
Wow. Okay.
Super sick. Do we have video of it? I think Joe would like the sound of this one.
Yeah. You have to convince me, and I'm stubborn.
It does. It pops.
That sounds awesome.
Very poppy.
Sounds great. So I think, Joe, I agree. I saw that leaked video of them filming the ad. The engines did not sound great.
That was leaked?
It was like someone who was like a bystander
filmed
from like 50 yards away, put it online. I agree with you, though. It didn't sound great.
Yeah.
However,
this sounds great.
With most turbo engines, I feel like a nice cat-back exhaust on there. Mm-hmm. And a tune that is legal in your municipality could help that, you know. So, jury is still out.
That's it for me and the Hurricane. Yeah,
you better not be.
I think it's been a while since we've gotten like a new tunable inline six, and I think this could have a lot of potential.
I mean, the B58 from BMW is like one of the sickest platforms out there,
and that's in they put that in the Grenadier.
They put it in the Grenadier, the Supra.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So, very cool.
No, and I like your new glasses.
Thank you.
They're heat wave prescription, huh?
I've had these for like a year at least. I just wear them on special occasions. I figured the return to the big three would be a good time to bring them out.
Nice. Apropos.
They are a little unibrow-ish.
A little bit.
You don't think so? That wasn't what you thought of?
It fits your head, though.
Thank you. I do have a square head. Mm-hmm. So these square frames make sense. Yeah. Yes.
And I notice you're using, because these are newer glasses, you're using a cleaning.
I'm using a rag.
As opposed to the old one where you'd use the salami.
Yeah. Yeah. I talked to my optometrist and they're like, why are you doing that?
We should mention that your optometrist is also a Pizzaioli.
Yeah. I save a lot of time.
We'll be right back after these messages. Now back to the show.
So we still don't know the full potential of the Hurricane Inline 6, but I think we're going to learn today.
What's nice about it? How do you get the most out of an inline 6 is
boosting
pretty well
it,
trod yeah. territory, so let's just get after it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to take long.
That's right. Dodge is also bringing back the Hemi, valve tick and all. But this may prove to be the superior engine. That's what gets me about the Hemi thing is like, yeah, it's a V8, but like they got some, that thing's got some problems.
Yeah.
5.7's got some problems. You got to baby that. You really got to take care of that thing for for it to last.
Do you have the Hemi in yours?
I sure do.
And
I'm going to
hear that tick all the time.
I don't have the tick yet.
Okay.
Thankfully, but my sister's truck got it. Uh-huh. And I think we've had two trucks in our family do it. Oh my God.
So this is legacy stupidity.
Yeah.
Well, I'm kidding.
Check this out.
I'm kidding. Tell
check
me.
This out.
Tell me.
Okay. So like I got the Ram, right? And I was like, yeah, my dad's got one. My sister had one. Mm-hmm. And then at Bonneville, my dad's cousin.
It's like buying a Subaru with 125,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
You're gonna get it. You're gonna the head's
that's,
gonna leave.
That's an issue. But I noticed something. My dad's cousin Bobby, he drove his Ram like a dually.
Yeah.
To the salt.
Uh-huh.
He also does land speed racing. And I was like, hey, Bobby, like, what does your brother drive? And he's like, oh, he's got a Ram. And then I was like, what does your youngest brother drive? He also had a Ram at some point, right? And he's like, oh, yeah, Kenny. Yeah, he had a Ram too. And then my uncle was there. And I was like, Tom, did you ever have a Ram? Because he had a Gladiator there.
And
I had a Ram too. So, like, my entire dad's side of the family, they all drive Rams.
Ram fam,
dude.
Hashtag nice. Ram fam.
Yeah. So there you go.
It was
we all
you were destined to have.
We all have valve.
Yeah.
And then I got a Dodge Heart put in.
Dodge pacemaker.
Yep.
Got the
old valve tick in that too.
Collectors won't be happy about this. Mercedes is bringing back the convertible G-Wagon, and it's actually coming to the United States.
Wait, why are collectors not happy about that?
You don't think that people
who
spent like
$200,000,
yeah, exactly, undervalue.
I don't think it'll under.
I think some people will be kind of mad about it. The only reason you'd pay a $270,000 for one of those things is because they're not making.
You don't have
anymore, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But they can go kick rocks.
Stop
hoarding cars.
I agree. Joe talked to Daddy Doug last Thursday.
Yeah.
About his convertible G-Wagon.
Actually, we barely touched on it, but that is something that did happen. We went down to Doug DeMuro's Cars and Bids office down in San Diego, and it's more like a bunker than an office. It's in
really
a windowless subterranean garage.
That's sick.
And it was a really cool conversation. That will go up, I think, second week of October when I'm on Pat leave, so look forward to that.
Did you see his convertible G-Wagon, his cabriolet?
It was not
G-Wagon
there. The only car that of his that was there was his Carrera GT.
Oh, nice.
Which is amazing. It's got like baseball leather interior.
The old soft top cabriolet G-Wagon was a two-door design. They can fetch sums over $200,000 on the collector market. We've done one of the, like, we did like a price guessing game video a couple months ago, and like one of them was $260,000, which I thought was ridiculous.
Part of our conversation because we did talk about like, he was like, I felt dumb paying the price that I did. And then it basically doubled within a year.
That's insane.
And then he felt smart.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And then there's a few of those around Santa Monica that I see, and they're driven by.
Talk about the guys who drive.
They just look like guys that would never. The problem with spending $250,000 plus on a G-Wagon is that you are basically guaranteeing yourself that you'll never drive that thing in the way that it was designed to be driven.
Oh, yeah.
The G-Wagon is an incredible machine. I would love to buy a cheap one and go to somewhere like...
I heard an interview where they said they designed it for groceries.
That's why it's called the G-Wagon.
Sure. Yeah, the G stands
for
groceries.
You need a straight front axle to go to the to go to Gelson's.
Speed bumps, baby. Yeah,
there's no G-Wagons at Ralph's. They all go to Erewhon. Anyway, so that just kind of ticks me off. So I'm glad that they're bringing this back. The new model will be a four-door design. We don't have a ton of details at the moment, but it's expected.
But they've
sometime.
Revealed it could fit 6 more bags of groceries.
Yes. We don't have a ton of details at the moment, but it's expected sometime in 2026.
Cool.
I think
it's cool.
To think of like a.
It is a
funny
good
nickname.
Looking car, and yeah. I hope they're not going to do a lot to it because it is a very timeless look.
I think so.
Timeless like a Jeep, you know, but like if your Jeep were fancy.
I have always wondered why Jeep didn't make like a super upscale Wrangler.
Because they don't have to. They can still charge a shit ton for the shit one. Yeah.
People did pay a shit ton for like the 392 Wrangler.
Oh, mm-hmm, that's true.
Which I think they're also talking about bringing back.
Yeah.
But like, okay, I'm at Jeep. I'm in charge of Stellantis. What I'm doing is I'm going to Chrysler and I'm saying, hey, some of your interior design people, look, it's Chrysler, but like you guys know semi-luxury. You guys go help the Jeep team create a really nice, luxurious interior with like sound deadening, thick carpets, nice leather seats.
Yeah.
And the front fascia from the Sebring.
Yeah. Well, no, but maybe soften up the design a little bit. Right. I don't know, something. And then we can sell. Look, we're not aiming for the people who want G-Wagons.
Yeah, right.
We're aiming at the customer who would love a G-Wagon,
gets a Jeep.
But
isn't that what a Grand Wagoneer is, though?
No, because the Grand Wagoneer is a different chassis.
Yes.
Doesn't have the front straight axle. I'm talking like a really fancy, comfortable car that can still do all that you can take to Moab. Right. You know, like that's my dream for Jeep.
I hear you, man.
And for some reason, they haven't done it.
Yeah. And I know you've been looking for a job, so why not use this platform?
I'm going to tell you what to land. Yeah. Yeah, why not just like rant at you guys instead? Yeah.
To your point, you have Maserati who has this interior stuff under control.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to them.
Yes.
But what I will also say is I have a buddy who does all the car reviews, as the industry will have it. And he was driving one, and I was like, God, how is that? And he's like, it's a Dodge.
The Maserati.
So I don't know. So that might not be the route.
Well, I will say, back to the Charger, like when we had that here at the office for a little bit earlier this year, I liked the interior a lot.
But like, that's what I mean. Unfortunately, I think what's happened is I wouldn't have known it because I'm not frequently in Maseratis. Mm-hmm. But I think what's happened is like Dodge interiors were here, Maserati's interiors are here, and now they're all kind of about here.
Mm. Yeah.
You know,
equalized a little bit.
Mm. Yeah.
But I don't know. Who am I? I'm just some schlub. I'm just some schlub who drives crap cars.
Well, dude, like I was watching the Savage Geese review of the new Passport, the off-road one, and like that actually looked pretty sick.
Mm-hmm.
And they changed the interior up a little bit. The exterior looks great, but like they put some beefy, like, you know, utilitarian style wheels on there, gave it a lift and stuff. It's like, okay, like that's... Like Jeep is already like one of the best off-roaders you can buy.
Yeah.
Just
do that
extra 10%.
I think that's a great point you make.
I drove past a Jeep on the highway on the 110. It was just crawling along with me and it said, "Don't try to follow. You won't keep up."
Audi just revealed a new concept that definitely doesn't look anything like the widely hated Jaguar Type 00. Here we go. Yeah. This is it.
It looks exactly like it.
It's very similar, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know,
and then here's what
from
I
from multiple
told,
angles, too.
I was telling Joe that the problem is they're both using the same AI chatbot to design concept cars.
Which we know now only scans Reddit and YouTube and 8chan. That's where ChatGPT gets all its
info. I'm going to be controversial here.
Okay.
No. It's not controversial. I like both these designs.
But I'm not saying I don't like them, that they look pretty similar.
Yeah.
Like,
I may start a rant, and I apologize in advance, but cars already look too fucking similar
to each other.
Yes. So why are we making concept cars that look the same as other concept cars? This does not bode well for the future of the car industry. I was renting, I think, a RAV4. I love your RAV4, Joe. But this piece of shit looked like every other car. I went up to the wrong f-ing car several times.
Wow.
Because it's a rental. That's it's not
you.
Mine.
You can
they
beep
look
it.
The f-ing same. And then the next, it looks the same as
all
a Chevy
Cruze.
All you
got to do is beep it.
And then, right. My point, Joe, is I shouldn't have to beep my car to know which car's
That's
my
true.
Car.
That's true.
They should look different. And they're so ubiquitous now, and this is less a design point, more of, again, my personal, I hate crossovers in general rant, but I was renting, it was a rental, it was a crossover. I had gone up to the wrong crossover several times and been like, oh shit, that's a Toyota. Oh shit, this is, you know, like, I wouldn't try to get in. And then I go up to the right brand, and I'm parked on the other, it's the same car. Uh-huh. They're so ubiquitous now that it's the same brand, same car. Yeah. Anyways.
So I've heard
If you're doing a concept car, make it look different.
I agree with that. Right.
I will have you know that.
Your car's great, though, Joe.
We drove down to San Diego, and Audrey said no less than 4 times that she loves my car. That it was quiet.
Yes.
That it was comfy.
All of those things are true.
Yeah,
all of those things are true, Joe. And I'm not saying these are bad cars.
No,
I'm not saying
they're great. The Mazda CX-5 is one of my favorite cars, and that's a boring.
I also tried to get into that one. Like, but that's what I mean. It's like there's. It's just, can you just something to make it things look exciting?
Yeah,
I
mean, if we're starting at the same points, like starting with the same. Almost same design language here, same design philosophy, we'll say. Some like futurist cubism or something.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
That's what's hot right now, though.
It is hot.
So I think, okay.
I love that Jaguar.
Let's go back to the concepts.
Honest, I'm going to be honest, dude. The Jaguar is sick. I also think the Audi is sick, too. I like it. I like them. This doesn't remind me of the Jaguar, though.
I like where these things could go. I just don't like the fact that they looked so similar.
I think
in terms
of
what we want our future to be.
I think people
I
were
want
too
our future
quick.
To be different and individualized.
People were too quick to call this another Jaguar. What it really looks like is the concept car from iRobot, starring Will Smith.
Was that an Audi? I think iRobot was Audi. What was that Minority Report? Was that BMW?
That was Lexus.
It was Lexus.
Was
the automated
Lexus?
Cars?
I'm pretty sure it was Lexus.
I don't know. We'll see.
Well, this comes, okay, it's a nod to the Auto Union Type C.
Great time period to show a little tip of the cap to. Love that.
I think it looks all right. I think the new Concept C, it looks better than the Jag to me. And we saw the Jag up close at Motorlux this year.
What'd you think?
It's way better in person.
I bet.
It's not, I wouldn't say better, it's more like,
it makes
eye-catching,
sense.
And it makes more sense. The matte is really cool. The matte finish, you know, I'm never going to drive in either one of these cars, so it doesn't really matter.
I'm going to try to get that Jaguar here.
Yeah.
For sure.
You're going to try to get, like, buy it?
No, like, just borrow one.
Oh.
My wife loves it. I mean, what
the fuck?
Okay, but for real, though, like you said, Joe, it's an homage to cars from the Auto Union in the 1930s. Who over at Audi is like, you know what?
Do you remember when we had everything right?
Yeah. 1930s Germany, that's what we need to, like, call back to.
Let's call this the concept axis.
Yeah. Oh, man. Anyway, so this thing's rear-wheel drive. It's a two-seater sports car. It's like the Audi TT. It will be electric, whatever the final version looks like. Mm-hmm. Audi is targeting a price bracket between the TT and the R8, so between $60,000 and $160,000.
There's a lot of cars in that range right now, and it's kind of bumming me out.
It's really bumming
me better,
out.
I mean, it's less than a house.
It's what a house was, you know, 10 years ago.
Okay, boomer.
Strange cars. I do want to borrow one of them Jaguars when it comes out.
I think there's only one.
Well, they'll probably make it. Dude, if it was still at Car Week,
yeah,
right? They're moving forward with that, you know? Yeah. They're going to do it, maybe.
They're all going to turn into Waymos.
Have you seen the new Waymo van that's around LA?
It's way more attractive.
It's way more ugly.
I actually kind of like it.
You do?
Yeah, we saw, I was hanging out with big time dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And
we just flipped one over.
yeah, we put a skateboard
put
under
cones
it.
Around it and stopped.
No, I was like,
lit it on fire. You, Waymo. But
one drove down their street, and I was like, what the hell is that? Yeah, and he's like, Joby was like, oh, that's a new Waymo. I actually kind of like it. And it makes sense from a utilitarian.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big, like, box van, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's fine.
You know the problem with Waymo is, though?
No.
It's f***ing expensive.
Is it really?
Yeah.
You've ridden in?
Yeah, I rode in one on my birthday. We rode down to...
just a little treat.
just a treat on my birthday. I was like, I want to go around the block. No, we went to Benihana, and it's, you know, it was a 10-minute car ride, and it cost me $70.
What?
Yeah.
But there's not even a driver to pay.
I know! And that's, like, that's the ground floor pricing. Look what, like, when Uber was first new, right?
Like they have, there's a different tier?
Well, no, I'm just saying, like,
why would you choose
that's the new technology pricing. That's, like,
I see.
Try to attract people to do it. Like, when Uber was new, it was super cheap. They undercut and destroyed the taxi industry. And now it's super expensive because they're the only game in town, right? Same thing.
Let me give, well, you're
that's
not,
what I would be afraid of. Is like, it's $70 now.
Did you have to tip?
No.
Was there even an option to tip?
Wait, listen,
I don't remember. That'd be insane, though.
Right? I don't know what to tell you. Our producer said that the most she's paid is $20 for
$24.
Yeah. And that's the
that
top
is,
end.
Why did I get ripped
We don't
off?
Know, man.
Some bullshit.
Write the company, because that's how things get done.
Dear Mr. Google, I had a problem.
Wait.
We'll be right back after these messages. Now back to the show.
So this is kind of a random fact that I heard this weekend. It was an interview with the gentleman. So it was talking about tips.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this concept that tips are essentially taxes on a consumer. And Uber didn't want that to be the case. So they wanted tips. They had a team to design the way their drivers get tips in such a way that their target was between 10 and 20% of riders tip the drivers.
Okay.
So my question to you is, what percentage of riders tip their drivers every ride in Uber?
Oh, I would probably guess like probably only 50%.
Yeah.
Right?
Joe?
65.
1%.
1%?
1%.
Only
1%? Yes. 1% of riders tip their drivers every ride.
Are you? Okay.
60% of riders never tip.
Oh my God.
39% of riders tip occasionally.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it lands them in the total tip percentage of riders who tip is 15%.
What?
Yep.
That's
so out of total rides, 15% of those rides are getting tipped.
Oh wow. My God.
Yeah.
No wonder they're
tip
always...
your drivers.
Yeah. And then they had it broken down by because it is mind-boggling.
That's astounding.
Yeah. And they had it broken down by different income neighborhoods.
Right.
You know, trying to figure out, well, what is the most likely way?
Do more wealthy drivers tip less?
I don't want to get too deep into it, but they found that more men tip.
Okay.
And usually tip a bit more.
Okay.
There is some question if that's because of different demographics for those who are traveling for their job.
Right.
Whereas it might be, well, I can give a little more because I'm not paying for it. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of
I know when I got that when I got the company paying for my Ubers to the airports and stuff, I'm throwing that tip.
Hell yeah, man.
I'm throwing a bigger tip. Yeah. I tip every time, but
I tip every time too. That's why I was
only
so
15%?
15% of total rides get tipped.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I try to tip every time.
But again, 1% of riders tip
every
time.
Wow. I try to tip every time, but sometimes I forget. You know, like it goes, like you get the email.
That's what's messed up too.
Sometimes I put myself in the shoes of the guy who I got a ride in Vegas 2 months ago and forgot to close it out, and then suddenly you get a nice $5. Mm-hmm. I'd appreciate that. Yeah. Oh yeah, that guy from two months ago.
He was great.
Yeah, it was great. That's what all my drivers sound like.
He gave me a drive to the Peppermint Mill. I got a steak.
We were in Vegas for our big trip.
Yeah,
and it was.
Dude, your plugs are so seamless.
I don't know if I would start another big production like that with a week in Vegas.
Oh yeah.
That was pretty rough, a bunch of
fentanyl addicts like you guys.
Dude, we got addicted to was craps. We were hitting that craps table every night.
Wow.
Craps is fun though.
Craps is so fun.
And once you get like you can stay at a table for a long time.
Dude. It was a good time.
Make some money.
Yeah.
Make no money. Lose a little money. Make a lot. There's a wide range, but for the most part, Edgar loves craps.
Yeah. Edgar was teaching us all craps.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so, like, the first night, we're all like, this is confusing as hell. And then like, by like night three, we're like, we're going to play the field tonight. Yeah. And it was so good. It was fun. Anyway.
And then by the third day, when we hadn't slept, we did really well.
Even the pit boss came over and he's like, you guys want. Yeah. Orange juice?
Here's some tickets for Bruno Mars. Yeah.
who's also paying off his debt to the MGM Grand. Yeah,
did you go to the Orb? Did you watch?
We did not
Wizard
go to the Sphere.
Oz
no,
the
we were. It was kind of like on our itinerary. We were gonna go check it out, but we never got around to it.
You see, Imagine Dragons do their whole album perform.
Ooh.
That one famous album they have.
Radioactive.
That's the name of the album.
No, I don't know. Daniel Ricciardo has announced he's retiring from racing. Danny Ric quickly became an F1 fan favorite following the debut of Drive to Survive, or if you just watched F1 before.
He's always been cool.
He's always back. He was on Donut Stuff in the early days.
He was. If you go back in the early catalog, you'll see some Danny Ric from circa 2015. He was once projected to be the next dominant driver in Formula One. Unfortunately, things did not work out that way. He was Red Bull's number one driver during Max Verstappen's first few years with the team.
And then that quickly flipped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Max is Max, man.
Max is Max.
Once Red Bull started putting more attention to Max, Daniel made the move to Renault. And Christian Horner accused Daniel of, quote, running from a fight.
And he also said, did you get a chance to look at my nipple? I sent it to you.
A few seasons after Daniel left Red Bull.
It says delivered.
A few seasons after Daniel left Red Bull, Red Bull designed the best car on the F1 grid, and Max won 4 straight championships with it. Daniel then left Renault for McLaren in 2021 and ultimately lost his seat just a few seasons before McLaren returned with a dominant car of their own.
That was exciting when he finally left Renault and went to McLaren. And you're like, all right, this is the second coming of Danny Ric. Yeah. And he never really lived up. Like, there's a couple tent poles in his career. We know, like, Monaco is really exciting. You're like, all right, Danny Ric's back. And then he just never lived up to the hype again.
His McLaren seat was filled the next season by current drivers' championship leader, Oscar Piastri.
Yeah.
He served as a backup driver at Red Bull for a while before getting a seat at AlphaTauri. A series of disappointing performances led to his ultimate departure from the team. And of course, now AlphaTauri is currently known as the Racing Bulls. They have one of the most competitive cars in the midfield. Still, Danny was widely liked in the paddock and undeniably very talented and just a likable guy all around, and won a total of 8 Grand Prix. So what is he doing next?
He's going to be in broadcasting. That's my prediction. Mm. I think he's going to be,
have
a successful podcast, do the whole media thing, because he's just so charismatic.
He'll be doing probably all that stuff. He'd be a great commentator for sure. But also he's joining Ford Racing and going to be working as a Raptor ambassador.
That's fun. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not a bad gig. Hell. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he'll probably, move to the U.S. for sure.
You know, he's already got a house.
He hangs out in L.A. all the time.
Yeah. I wish I was talented enough that somebody'd give me some money just to
be,
say this thing's cool.
Just to be, I know, like, you know? Associated with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. Kind of weird. Not weird, but like, a
end of an era,
not unpredictable, but an inspired choice, I guess, for brand ambassador for Raptor.
Oh yeah,
interesting. I mean, he's just like so cool.
Been, he's done so many things with so many different types of vehicle you know, over the course of his career, and it just seems like he's a guy who's down for whatever, down, you know, like.
Also from Ford's perspective, think of this, makes sense. Like, they got Vaughn Gittin Jr., the fun haver.
They had Max Verstappen driving a Mustang GTD a few months ago, right?
But I think Ford, you know, if they're leaning into this like fun haver attitude, who's more of a fun guy than Danny Rick? Yeah.
It's hard to imagine one. I gave him donuts one time. That was like one of my first like
big
tasks as an intern was like, hey, Danny Rick's in town. He loves DK's donuts over there in Wilshire. Go get him a box of those like butterscotch bun things.
Yeah, and you
and deliver it to his hotel.
Yeah,
and that was fun. And then me and Tony Balda. I went to go get the donuts. Tony drove his little E46 M3 and just went straight to the hotel and hung out with Danny and his team for like half an hour.
For you to bring the donuts.
Yeah,
that's pretty funny.
Yeah. He showed up and he was like, "Legend."
Yeah, he did.
Really?
Yeah.
He said that?
Yeah.
Dude, Australians love throwing around legend.
No one's going to let me read this one because I lived in Chicago for a minute. Okay. But an investigation into Chicago cold case dating back to 1970 has been renewed, and it has unearthed nearly 100 lost vehicles.
Wow.
And it's a crazy story, and people are like, hey, this couple disappeared in their Oldsmobile 442 55 years ago, and we never figured out what happened to him.
Whoa.
And there's a team of people who are like trying to figure out cold cases, and they're like, well, they knew he was drunk. In fact, he clipped the garage on the way out. Like, all part of the in the police records.
Okay.
And
okay.
So they're like, if this happened,
referring to cold case details about the disappearance of a cop, that's lore.
Joe has been since the he I also he was using a lot of lore in the last podcast too when we were talking to JD about the lore of the sword.
Gotcha.
That's anyways. Real lore though. And he right. said which yeah, I don't know, I just kind of came up with it.
Anyways, what I think is crazy about this is they're looking for his couple. They didn't find the couple's car, but they were like, well, most likely he got drunk here at the Sheraton, clipped this, and then headed this way, and probably drove into the river. So amateur diving team enthusiasts are like, well, this is what we do. We're going to go in the river. And they found like 100 cars.
In the Chicago River.
In the Chicago
River. Nobody noticed that there's 100 cars.
Right. And the reason they found out, because a boat like clipped the top of a Datsun.
Oh, wow.
So they were like, oh, there's a Datsun there. And then they just started looking everywhere.
Holy crap.
And,
wow.
Yeah. And it's almost 100 cars. And like, they're not all old. Like, there's a Tesla that got pulled out.
Wow.
What?
Yeah. It's very weird.
Where in town?
You know? The Chicago River.
I know, but like, in, no, not downtown.
So like, if you follow, it's a bit further out and up to the north, to the northwest of,
okay,
where, you know, kind of where the river goes.
Gotcha. Burbs.
What are we talking, like kind blue of line? Starting.
Yeah, no. So not near the loop at all.
Brown line?
I forget now. Is red line O'Hare?
Red line goes to Midway.
All right.
I'm
blue line's
sure.
O'Hare?
Blue line so. Is O'Hare.
It's been too long since I went there, but blue line-ish by the river.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, past Ukraine Town.
Ukrainian Village.
Ukrainian Village is nice.
It is.
I love
nice.
Chicago. Yeah, I've been a really fair Chicago. Amount of time. I bring it up every time we talk about
it. We all love Chicago. Okay, it's not a contest.
We've all driven a car into the river. So
that's what you do, man. You rent a car, drive it into the river.
It's part of the culture, dude.
They turn it green, you know? Like,
yeah, all that green is antifreeze.
Yeah. Nice.
Okay.
Great button on that. Anyway. All right. That is our show this week. And speaking of Oldsmobiles, check out our automotive history show, Past Gas. This week is the first episode in a two-parter on Oldsmobile. It's a lot of fun. Learned a lot about that company. Ransom Olds.
Ranny, they call it.
I think Oldsmobile is a car company, and we all had this realization together as we did the Past Gas. You're not going to realize how much you already like Oldsmobile.
Yeah, dude.
You straight already up. Do. Trust us. Watch Past
when you
Gas
said Oldsmobile 442, I was like, hell yeah, brother.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. Follow Bart at BidsBarto. Follow Joe at Joji Weber. Follow me at Nolan J. Sykes. Big thank you to our crew, as always. Mark and Audrey behind the camera doing a great job. every single motherfucking week here on the show.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye, guys.